Are you started?
Yeah. Parshas Vayiro. I'd like to start off with something that we talked about a couple of years back, and to build on that. It's a kasha that is a very difficult kasha, and the teretz is something that Be'ez Hashem, if one focuses on it in its fullest, to its logical conclusion, we see that it can almost change the way one thinks in every single level in one's life, whether it's been on the chaver, been on the makom, and even further than that. This week's parasha talks about Kodesh Baruch Hu sending Moshe Rabbeinu to Shlichus, and Moshe Rabbeinu is sent to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim, to deliver the Torah to Klal Yisrael, to bring him into Eretz Yisrael. It's a job of a lifetime, it's a job of history. There's no greater job in history than to take Klal Yisrael from Shivu Mitzrayim, from Mentesh Arabina, to take them to Kabbalah Satira and into Eretz Yisrael. Never has any other man received anything close to that. And Moshe Rabbeinu refuses. And there's discussion backwards and forwards between Rabbeinu Shalom, until Rabbeinu Shalom is really upset with Moshe Rabbeinu. He really gets annoyed. And he says, okay, Aaron should be in the Viecho. Aaron should be the one who goes out, and he's going to be your mouthpiece, going to speak for you. Moshe Rabbeinu, one of his discussions, one of his tainus, one of his complaints, one of his excuses rather, was the fact that he was a COVID peh. The Moshe Rabbeinu it was difficult for him to speak, and because it's difficult to speak, it's very difficult to go and present a case lucidly and in a way that's going to bring honor to Klal Yisrael in front of Paroi. If Moshe Rabbeinu has difficulty in expressing himself, difficulty in giving over the message in a way that's going to be respectable. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him in Perek Dalet, Pasuk Tezayin, that's in last week's parasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, that he, Aaron Kohen, will be to you as a pair, as a mouthpiece, and made it, because you're difficult to speak. But atatir loyle lehim, and you'll be to him as a rav and a sar. So the Rishonim ask already. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending a shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sending Moshe Rabbeinu to do the world's greatest messenger. He's the world's greatest messenger, the greatest product for the sake of Klal Yisrael. And he has a small problem. The small issue is that he can't speak. Why? He's COVID peh. He has difficulty in speaking. You know what? En baya, no problem. Sort him out. Give him a refuah. Kosh Baruch Hu can make a yesh ma'ayim, can completely create an individual, a human being from nothing. He can take Moshe Rabbeinu and repair his speech. You know, greater miracles have happened in the lifetime of Klal Yisrael than Moshe Rabbeinu being able, for being a COVID peh, to a person who's able to be eloquent in speech. Why did a Kosh Baruch Hu not do that? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu agrees with him. Yeah, okay, let's have Aaron. You know, it's very, excuse the expression, it's unprofessional to try and present a case, yeah, and you got somebody else who's speaking for you, mumbling to him, and he expresses what he says. He says that, but give Moshe the koyach, give Moshe the strength, give Moshe the eloquence of speech, let him go and present the case. What's this idea of doing it through Aaron HaKohen? What's the idea behind this? So the Ran, in Drosh HaSaran, fantastic safe if you have time. And Drosh HaSaran, the Ran says, one of the Shrutzim are that Moshe Rabbeinu could not possibly be viewed in future generations as a smooth talker. If Moshe Rabbeinu had an ability to be able to speak beautifully, then people will think later generations Moshe Rabbeinu was able to smooth talk them into receiving the Torah. He's a smooth guy. Yeah, he's able to, he's a good salesman. You know, he's able to sell freezers to Eskimos. He can sell Torah to Klal Yisrael. He's a smooth talker. Says Aran, no, Moshe Rabbeinu was specially given a speech impediment in order that it wasn't possible to say that he was able in his matzav and his position to be able to smooth talk Klal Yisrael. Nobody wants to listen to him. And therefore, Dafka then, he said, by the way, afterwards, when he gave the Torah, then everyone got healed. Moshe Rabbeinu was included in that. He was also healed. But until that stage, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not heal Moshe Rabbeinu in order that it should never be a suspicion that he's smooth talking. That is the Ran. The Ramban says, Why did he not heal him? So the Ramban says a different reason. And he says, how did Moshe Rabbeinu in the first place become a COVID pair? What happened to him? So Medrash brings down that those people in the palace, and Moshe Rabbeinu was being brought up there, suspected Moshe Rabbeinu had a tendency to become a leader, and the tendency to become a king, and that could be a threat to Pari. So as a three-year-old child, they put in front of him hot coals and a crown. And the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu, being a Baal Seichel, obviously, is going to go for the crown. He's going to go for hot coals. I'm shigana. Yeah? Obviously going to go for the crown. And a Malach went and moved his hand and took the hot coals and put it in his mouth. And from that became a COVID pair. So in essence, that story saved Moshe Rabbeinu's life. In essence, that is what saved him from being killed by Paro at that stage. Therefore, says the Ramban, Moshe Rabbeinu, his whole life, did not want to forget that Maaseh Nes that happened then. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved his life then, and he would be healed, at some stage of his life, he may forget what happened to him. And if that's what would happen to him, it's better for him not to become a Moshe Rabbeinu, be a regular Moshe. Let somebody else take the job. I prefer to leave the job behind. I'm not going to take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. I won't represent Klal Yisrael to Paro. I won't give them the Torah. I won't bring them to Eretz Yisrael. I want to stay an average person. I won't get all the tremendous chusim and the prestige and the kavod of being Moshe Rabbeinu, because I may forget what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me when he healed me from my speech impediment. I'd say even more, that Moshe Rabbeinu should have extra credit that now HaKadosh Baruch Hu healed him. No, but that's easy to forget. Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to forget, and therefore it's better for him not to take the shlichus and to remain an average person than to take the shlichus and the sofik in doubt may forget the Nes HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to him. It is very, very easy to forget HaKadosh HaTov. Moshe Rabbeinu was all about HaKadosh HaTov. Moshe Rabbeinu's life, as you're going to see soon, the greatness that made him who he was, it was not done through his incredible wisdom, and it was not done through his incredible midas and anything else but HaKadosh HaTov. Later on, right at the end of the Torah, we find that there is a vikuach, there is a give and take between Miriam and Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu spoke Lashon Hara about, Miriam spoke Moshe Rabbeinu, Lashon Hara to Moshe Rabbeinu about the Isha Kushis Asher Lokach. Moshe Rabbeinu took an Isha Kushis. Isha Kushis does not necessarily mean a black woman, but it means a woman that was out of the fold originally. She was not part of Klal Yisrael. She was not part of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. She was a Midianis. She came from Midian, and then went through Geirus, but she was not the Bnei Avraham. She was not part of the family of Klal Yisrael all that time. And Miriam was upset with Moshe Rabbeinu that he married her then, and later on, he could not understand why he took her back, because later on Moshe Rabbeinu had already reached the stages of being a godel in Klal Yisrael, and only then later on Yisrael came to bring his wife back, either before Torah was given, after Torah was given, Machlekes, and then Moshe Rabbeinu took her back as a wife. So Tzipora says to Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing? Originally, when you were back there, were you by yourself, I can understand why you took her. Okay, but today, the godel Ador is walking around the Isha Kushis. You know, Kapshuta, you know, the godel Ador walking around with a black wife. You know, it's pasnished. You know, it's not befitting you. And what's going to be with your children? You know, Mitzvah, your children are going to take over one day too. And children are going to take over one day. And, you know, you're going to have children and it's half calm. You know, what's going to be? What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Moshe Rabbeinu said back to Miriam. The Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu said back to Miriam, according to Rekeach, different Beforshim, she took me when I needed her. There's no way I can leave her now. You know, there's a concept in the business world or in the world of Hollywood. It's called a trophy wife. You know, a person starts off on a lower level, you know, and he's a regular guy and he builds himself up until he can afford a much more glamorous wife. So he dumps wife number one and takes wife number two. As he climbs up the ladder further, he dumps wife number two and gets more glamorous wife number three, until the age discrepancy is more and more. Yeah, until he can afford anyone. And that is a way of, she's a mother of your children. She took you when you were working 18-hour days to put bread and butter on the table, and she's willing to put up with that. Yeah, but now I can afford to get rid of her. No, I'll give her a nice settlement. Next time I'll make sure I'll put in a prenup so I don't give a settlement. And you get rid of that more easily. But the concept of just disposing of those people who were good to you in all that time is a concept which is very, unfortunately, very well known today. And Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to be any part of that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, when I was in Midian, I was alone, I was a stranger, I was kicked out of Mitzrayim, I ran away from my life, she took me in, and she helped me, I am never ever going to leave her behind. So Miriam said back to her, according to the Rekeach, Miriam said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, that's okay then, but what's going to be with your children? You know, what's going to be for the sake of the covet of Klal Yisrael, what's going to be? Moshe never answered. Who answered for Moshe Rabbeinu? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said,
stay single, no?
V'ish Moshe Onav Mo'od. Ish Moshe's Onav Mo'od. V'chol Beisi Ne'mon Hu. From all my household, from all my Malachim, from all my messengers, he is a Ne'mon. Again, the question was, what's going to be with your children? What's going to be with the Kovod HaKlal Yisrael? HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe Beis is an Onav, and he's a Ne'mon. Okay, so how does that answer the question? The teretz is, says a Rekeach. Okay, a beautiful teretz. The teretz is that Moshe Rabbeinu has a complaint against him. What's going to be with your children? The teretz is, I'm telling you, the greatest children will be born out of me keeping a wife for the sake of a Karas HaToiv. If I'm not throwing her away, if I'm keeping her because of a Karas HaToiv, that ingredient of good midas is going to create the best children ever. If your person is brought up in a household where it's clear that a wife appreciates a husband appreciates a wife, it doesn't matter whether the children have yichus and their grandfather was Yaakov or the great grandfather was Yitzchak, it makes no difference. What's going to make them great is a karas hatoiv, is appreciation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu is the onav ma'oid. He's not a big shot now that he just lets her go. And therefore, he is chol beisei ne'mon hu. From my whole household, he's a Ne'mon. Ne'mon means where a person understands there's a debt of a Karas HaToiv, it's impossible to leave behind that appreciation that you've had before. You can't change your loyalties just because now you're on a different position. B'chol beisei Ne'mon hu. And that, again, so the koyach of a Karas HaToiv is the ability to take maybe a second class wife, perhaps, and create children in an environment where Karas HaToiv is king. That is going to make future builders of Klal Yisrael, the future leaders of Klal Yisrael. That is going to be the answer. There are people who live with a Karas HaToiv. Their whole way of thinking is a Karas HaToiv. That's one to vote from in the Leilin HaShabeach. It says, when Yaakov Avinu says to his wives, Rachel and Leah, he was in Lavan's house. Lavan was a classic kofi toiv. He's a person who didn't appreciate anything. Yaakov Avinu brought him all his success, all his bracha, and then he said, "Everything comes from me." He's a classic kofi toiv. So Yaakov Avinu has had enough, yeah, and he goes and he sends for his two wives. Akash Brocha gave him a nevuah, yeah, and he calls for his two wives, and he basically tells them, and the pasuk says, "You know, that's it. We're going." You know very well how honest I've been, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given me the bracha, and your father's been blessed because of me. We're going. Says in Targum Yonos and Menazil, who did he send to fetch his two wives? So Yonos and Menazil says he sent Naphtali. Naphtali was the one to go along and fetch his wives. Yaakov was out in the field somewhere, and he sent Naphtali to fetch Barachan and Leah. So ask Rabbanu Musa that Naphtali was born from who? You know, from Bilhah. If Naphtali is born from Bilhah, why did Yaakov send Naphtali? Yaakov did not send for Bilhah and Zilpah, he sent for Rachel and Leah. Rachel and Leah were the ultimate wives, the rest were sort of sub-wives, as it were, to an extent. So why send Naphtali, who is from Bilhah, and to send for Rachel and Leah, not to send for his own mother? It's hurtful. Hey, you want to say because Naphtali was the fastest? Still, it doesn't answer the question sufficiently. What's the idea behind that? So the Bala Musa saying, it brought down Leinu Shabeach, the idea behind this is that Naphtali knew that the only reason why he was born was because Rachel was willing to give her maidservant to Yaakov Avinu as a wife. Rachel gave Bilhah as a wife to Yaakov Avinu. And then for the only reason why Naphtali had the schus to be born to Yaakov Avinu was because Rachel was generous enough to share Yaakov Avinu with his own mother. If without understanding that his whole life only came into existence because of Rachel, then the Hakaras HaToiv, the debt of Hakaras HaToiv is going to be so great, he'll do anything for Rachel's sake. Even if his own mother may be not as much cover that she should get, it doesn't matter. My Hakaras HaToiv is to Rachel. And therefore, we dafka wanted Naftali, who is a Makir Toiv, who recognizes a good, to do a Shlichus against Lavan, who is the Kofi Toiv, one who denies it. There are people whose whole lives live with a Hakaras HaToiv. I'll give an example. Kibud Avim. Kibud Avim, Rav Shlomo Zalman, Zeichet Sadevik Kodesh Ivrocha. He was a very, very special, as a young man, as a young bocher, he was doing very well, and in Eitz Chaim, where he learnt, they had competitions, and when he used to finish X amount of Dafin, he used to get prizes. And the prizes would go for Sforim. Rav Shlomo Zalman would all go, whenever he'd win the top prizes, he'd go to the Rebbe or go to the Manal, and he'd say to them, please do me a favour, don't buy me the Sforim, give me money instead. So everyone else got a nice shas, or got a Rambam, or got a, you know, a Shmir Shabbos Kol Chosoi, right? And Rav Shlomo Zalman got money. So it didn't, you know, people looked at Rav Shlomo Zalman like, oh, we're using the money for. Only later on, when I whole found out that Rav Shlomo Zalman's father was very, very poor, and Rav Shlomo Zalman's mother was hard of hearing. And he bought for his mother, with his money that he saved all the way through his years of being a bocher, he bought for his mother a pair of hearing aids. As soon as he got married, at that stage he's already a posuk. As soon as he got married, the first thing he did was write the revolutionary sefer about electricity on Shabbos, because his mother didn't want to wear the hearing aids on Shabbos. And he wrote a whole tshuva about why it's mutter to wear hearing aids on Shabbos, how electricity in that certain case is a mutter on Shabbos. His whole life as a little boy was focused about Hakaras HaToiv. Moshe Rabbeinu was willing to give up his position of being a Moshe Rabbeinu, just to say as average Moshe, if it's in any way impedes on his Hakaras HaToiv. I'm willing to become an average person if I'm in any way going to not be Makir Toiv to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm willing to keep my wife, and I know that this is the ultimate success of my family is based on being Makir Toiv. Leina Shebech brings a beautiful story of have you ever been to Bnei Brak in the best of times? It's sometimes the sanitation elements there are not fantastic. Yeah, I once went a few years back when they had a garbage strike in the middle of the summer. Okay, in English it's a rubbish strike, right? The rubbish collectors, the garbage collectors went on strike, and it wasn't for one day or 2 days or 3 days; it was for weeks. Right, and when they went for the bris, it was lethal. You're climbing over horrendous. I mean, it was terrible. There was one man that Zilberstein saw that he lived in an apartment block, and every other day he'd take bin bags and take them all the way as far as he can to an area far away from all the houses and put them over there. One day, there's so many bin bags they couldn't carry them, so he had a very nice car. He opened up the trunk of his car, the boot of his car, and he put all his stinking hot, you know, I mean, it's stinking bin bags in his car, and drove them to the edge of town and put them over there in a place where there was no longer, where there weren't strikes. So Yisrael Zilberstein asked him, you know, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? He said, I've been living in this in a palm block for 20 years. I have such a Hakaras HaToiv to all my neighbors. How can I ever pay them back for all the good they do? They lend me things, they're nice to me, I live in a good environment, how can I pay them back? So once in a while, Baruch Hashem, Hashem gives me the opportunity that I can finally give them something back that's going to benefit them all. And he put these stinking bin bags in his car to take them away. These are people who live with a Hakaras HaToiv. He's going to have special children. He appreciated his wife. I'm sure he appreciated his parents. And this is something that's going to be the bond of the home. The very fascinating thing is that v'chol beisoy nemon hu is pshat, that when a person understands that every single thing comes from a source, you appreciate the source. If a person's health comes from the Ribbono Shel Olam, if at every second a person thinks, there's a book called Our Marvelous World by my cousin Rabbi Katz. It's an art scroll book, and he's got books. He explains their incredible gadlus avoda, how the body works. A person, the way their eyes work, the way the heart pumps, the way the kidneys clean out the body, the way the skin is able to sense different temperatures, how it repairs itself, how the ear is able to translate information through the brain, how it's incredible how the teeth bite and digestion. It's incredible. And a person takes that and he wastes it and he does an avera with that goof. It's not possible a person had a korach tov. How can a person do something? How can a person eat something that's also if he knows that the digestion comes from the Rabbeinu Shleilam? V'chol ne'eman beisei, who means if a person has a korach tov and knows that he has to appreciate and give back to the one who gave to him all these valuable things, then he cannot do averus. Therefore, ben odom lechaveroi is increased with a korach tov, ben odom lemakom is increased with a korach tov. But in this week's parasha, we see even more than that. That korach tov goes even further. We find a very, very strange concept. You may have heard this concept, but it's the source is a pretty recent source. Moshe Rabbeinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to go to Mitzrayim and bring the first Makkos to Mitzrayim. The first Makkos, Makkos Dam, and Moshe Rabbeinu was told to go and hit the Yair. Perek Zayin, Posuk, Yutes. V'yem Hashem el Moshe, en mo'el Aaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, tell Aaron, kach matcho, take a stick, unetei yodcho meima Mitzrayim, and hit the water. Why not Moshe Rabbeinu? So, the Medrash brings down that Moshe Rabbeinu was told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu previously to hit the water. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Omer Tanchum, Lomo Leloka Maim Adei Moshe, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Hamayin Shamrucho, the water that helped you, Kesha Hushlachto Le Yoir, that when you were sent into the Yoir, Ein Noidin Sheilka Al Yodcho. It is not correct for you to hit it. Chayecho Le Yilku Ele Al Dei Aaron, only through Aaron it should be hit. Okay, and the same thing happened with the offer. Moshe Rabbeinu did not hit the ground because it saved him by the Mitzrayim to bury the Mitzri. What's going on over here, Rabbi? So let's understand this. Moshe Rabbeinu was about to do an incredible Kiddush Hashem. To hit the water, people are going to see the first nes, the first open nes of the Makkos Mitzrayim. It's going to make a tremendous Kiddush Hashem. And it's going to be done through water. So the water is going to do incredible Kiddush Hashem. Let's work this out. Okay, so the nes is going to be done through this. If he hits the water, does the water feel anything? You know, today they talk about vegetables feeling if you cut them or whether you tear them. I'm not convinced. Yeah, but you know, does the water feel? The water is a doimim. A doimim is something that has no feelings. So you hit it, is it going to do anything? Furthermore, what did the water do to save Moshe Rabbeinu? What did the water physically do to Moshe Rabbeinu? Since it's a doimim, it didn't do anything. It was something that was put on it. It didn't do anything. Therefore, what's pshat over here that Moshe Rabbeinu could not hit the water because he has a korach hatov to the water? The water didn't do anything. The water just helped to help the man with what he did. Ultimately, it feels nothing. And third of all, it's a tremendous Kiddush Hashem if it did fulfill what Moshe Rabbeinu wanted it to do in order to make a Kiddush Hashem. What's the problem over here? Says Rav Dessler, you're right, intellectually, al pi seichel, with one's own mind, it doesn't add up that Moshe Rabbeinu did not hit the water. It doesn't matter. It doesn't add up. Al pi seichel, it doesn't add up. He should have hit it, according to seichel. But he says, there's more to human being than seichel. There's hergish, there's a feeling. And when one has a feeling, and one does not listen to the feeling correctly, that is able to weaken that feeling, and eventually destroy the sensitivity that we have. In other words, with Moshe Rabbeinu, if you were to hit the water, intellectually it was correct. But how can I hit feeling, emotionally? Yeah, how can I hit something that saves me? What do you mean? It's Kiddush Hashem. Fine, that's intellect. But the feeling is, to take something and hit something that helped you, the feeling is wrong. Even though intellectually it's right, the feeling is wrong. If the feeling is wrong, then by you suppressing the feeling and saying, nah, it's okay, you are blunting that feeling of a korach hatov. You are saying that I don't have to really do as much, and eventually what can happen is that feeling of Hakaras HaToiv that saved Moshe Rabbeinu, that made him great in the first place, that holds all the way through his life, can be blunted. That could be not desensitized. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu says, Rabbeinu Shlomo said to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not correct for you to hit the water. Why? Because that feeling of Hakaras HaToiv, even to a doimim, intellectually doesn't make sense, but emotionally, that can do something to you that will desensitize you, and there's no way Moshe Rabbeinu can be desensitized, because otherwise he's not Moshe Rabbeinu anymore. I know certain Talmud Chochem, don't stop doing this, let's work on other Hakaras HaToiv first, but I know certain Talmud Chochem, every time he gets out of his car, he thanks his car. Says Yasher Koyach. Yeah, again, don't do this, certainly not on Shidduchim. Yeah, it's something that people may not appreciate. Excuse the pun. Yeah, but it's... there's plenty of Hakaras HaToiv you can work on before you start thanking your car. But the concept is that emotionally, the car's helped you, you've got to have a Hakaras HaToiv. Yeah, that's how far Hakaras HaToiv goes. Now, that's a tzaddik. Let's work with the Rasha. If you look in this week's parasha, it says on various different stages, it says by Paro, which is the exact opposite of Kfiras Toiv. It says certain times it says Vayachazik Lev Paro, and sometimes it says Vayachbid Lev Paro. What's the difference between Vayachbad Lev Paro and Vayachazik Lev Paro? Let's give a few examples. Yeah, look in Ches Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayar Paro ki hoisa horavocha vahachbeid es liboy. He became kaved. Other places it says vayechzak le paro. Pasuk Tes Vav. Vayechzak le paro. What's the difference between vayechzak, the loshon of chizek, and kaved? What's the difference between the two? So the Malbim says, which is a typical something for the Malbim to explain, there is a major difference between the two concepts. One, Vayachazik Lev Paro means that he strengthened his heart. He decided to be obstinate. He is not going to get influenced, be what may. If a Kosh Baruch Hu sends him the biggest nissim, he's going to ignore it. He's going to work very hard to make sure that it makes absolutely no impact, no influence. It doesn't do anything to change his ways. It doesn't change him whatsoever. Yes, Vayachazik. It is face to face against reality. HaKosh Baruch Hu is showing himself, and I am totally ignoring it. I am denying that fact. That is Vayechazik. Vayechabei Lev Paroi is sometimes there's a little crack over there that he did not manage to seal, and a little bit of a Kosh Baruch's influence and control was apparent to Paroi, and he recognized that. So he lost Vayechazik Lev. So what did he do then? Vayechabei Lev Paroi means he made sure he did nothing about it. In other words, he was too lazy to do something about it. Sometimes he was fighting against the influence. Sometimes the influence made an impact on him, but he made sure that he was too heavy. He was too engrossed in his life. He was too heavy in his life in order to make an absolute change because of that. But he did make an influence, but he didn't do anything about it. And that's in Vayechazik Vayechabid. That's Atzlus. There are certain stages in time where a person's Vayechabed, not wanting to appreciate what Rabbi Shalim does, becomes a shitter of Vayechazik. If you look later on, by Dever, it says Vayshalich in Per Tes, Pasuk Yud Zayin. No, sorry, in Per Tes, Pasuk Lamed Dalet. It says by Borod, Vayar Parik Chodal Hamoto, Vahaborod Vakodis, Vayosev Lachtoi, Vayachbeid Le Liboy Huvoda, he came a Kovid Liboy, his heart became heavy, Vayechzak Le Parik. See, there it says both. Sometimes a person could be so not interested in giving a Hakaras HaToiv, it becomes a shitter. And therefore, I don't want the Hakaras HaToiv to make an influence on me, and therefore he can push off the influence of Hakaras HaToiv. I've said this many, many times. There was one of the greatest, greatest people who worked day and night. He gave his life and his soul for saving Yidden from the Holocaust, was Dr. Schoenfeld. Dr. Schoenfeld lived in England. He was an incredible Askan. And he started off the Kadassia, he started off the different schools. And he was a chaplain in the British Army, and he wore the uniform. And he organized something called the Kinder Transport. and he brought over ships of Jews from Germany to England. My father was one of them, my father-in-law was one of them, right? He saved, today there are tens of thousands of Yidden alive today because of Dr. Schoenfeld. And he did the most craziest things. You know, there are certain times where England refused to allow Jews in anymore. So he found that in Ireland, they're willing to accept Jews if they have their own residence. So he found a Jew that bought a deserted castle in Ireland and sent Rabbonim over from London to that island. He bought from a ship, he bought a transformer. Not transformer, a...
transporter?
No, to make electricity. A generator. He bought a generator from a disused ship that he found somewhere in the middle of nowhere and put it in to make electricity. It's unbelievable what he did. I was once walking in the street with my father, and he said Good Shabbos, a certain individual, on the way to shul, and the man turned around and ignored him. So Dr. Schoenfeld said to him, I may have saved your life, I may have done you a favor, but not such a favor that you should hate me that much. You can say Good Shabbos to me. Sometimes the not to do in our Koras HaToiv is so strong that a person makes a shitter of not appreciating what he gets in order not to deal with that debt of a Koras HaToiv. That was Pari. Listen to this. The Pari was, it starts off by Chabe, Vayachbe Lev Pari. He became heavy, didn't want to do anything about it, and he made a shitter of not dealing with it. I want to finish off with one vort from Leib Chassman. And this vort is a vort not only in a Koras HaToiv, but it's a vort in human nature. It is a fantastic one. I saw this vort this week, and I was delighted. It says, by the Makkah of Dever, yeah, the Makkah of Dever, Paro sees that all the animals die in Mitzrayim. Okay? So what does he do? So Paro sends over, Vayishach Paro sends a shliach to Goshen to see what's going on with the animals in Goshen. Vehine loimeis mimikne Yisrael ad echod. Not one of the animals died in Goshen. Carries on a pasuk, Vayichbad Lev Paroi, Paroi's heart became Kovid Lev, Voleshulach Esa'ob. He never sent out Klal Yisrael. It's mashma from the pasuk, that Paroi did not know whether the dever, whether the dying of the animals, the pestilence, took effect in Goshen as well. He didn't know. Maybe it's just an occurrence that's happening in this region of the world, and therefore the Jews have animals and they died as well, and therefore it's not directly a makkah against us, not directly a plague that affects Mitzrayim, and therefore it's not a Kodesh Baruch Hu, therefore they don't have to send out Klal Yisrael. What happens? He sends a shliach and he finds that not a single animal of Klal Yisrael's animals died. So what should that naturally say? Wow, that's incredible, it's unbelievable, yeah? It must be Bein Shleilam. No, says a pasuk. Because he saw not one of the animals died, but Yichbad Lev Paroi, his heart became heavy. He denied the Kodesh Baruch Hu. On the contrary, the fact that he saw not a single animal died, it shouldn't be the Yichbad Lev Paroi. His heart should be weakened a little bit more. It's not Pesha. The Yichbad Lev Paroi seems to be the effect of seeing not a single animal died, Yichbad Lev Paroi. That's not Pesha. It should be that his heart should have been weakened. He may not want to send Klal Yisrael out, but his heart should not be stronger. Says Reb Leib Chassman. This vort is so fantastic. He said, imagine you see two people arguing. This is so MS. You see two people arguing. And, you know, bear this in mind. You have two people arguing. And two people are trying to express their particular view of something that happened. Let's take a husband and wife. Okay, husband and wife are having a very, very difficult discussion. Yeah, and they difference of opinion. And the husband says one thing, and the wife says another thing. And it escalates, and it gets louder and louder, and more complicated, until the wife gives over her view of what happened, and it's correct. And it's correct. In other words, she is able to convince her husband that her side is correct. The husband is able to agree with her. In other words, if they both have a side and she just happens to be more correct than him, if he's a mensch, then he can back down and say, you know what, you're right,
I hear where you're coming from. Okay, you convinced me, I'm very sorry, fine. There's a certain time, though, that it's much more difficult for him to back down. If the wife is able to show him that he has absolutely no leg to stand on from the very beginning, that he made a false claim from the very beginning, not that you have a position and I have a better position. You never had a position. Your position was wrong from day one. You absolutely made a mistake, and it's ridiculous the mistake you ever made. You had no reason to say what you said. If that's the case, for the husband to back down at that stage is so difficult, because by doing so, he is not only agreeing to his wife, he is actually agreeing that he never had a position, that what he originally started off with was false. It was ridiculous for him to do that, and therefore his covered is totally at stake. If you're right and I'm a little bit less right, I've got a position. But if I'm completely wrong, if I'm no mocking there to be where I am, and you're completely right, then a person's decimated, there's nothing left. And therefore his whole covered is at stake. It's very difficult for him to stand up and agree to the other person. As long as Paro thought that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right, and a few animals died from Klal Yisrael, then I'm able to appreciate that, you know, I have a position, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very strong, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can kill more animals in Mitzrayim than in Goshen, but I'm still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not absolutely perfect. Now that we see that not a single animal died from Klal Yisrael, then it shows that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is entirely in control. You, Paro, thought you were entirely in control. Therefore, it's not possible now for Paro to back off being a Baal Gaiva to say that you're right. And therefore, Dafka, when he saw Loimeis Mikne Yisrael Ad Echa, not a single animal died, then his position, he had to entrench himself, and therefore then he became so obstinate that he could not possibly believe in that. Isn't that beautiful? It's mummish, it's so emes. No, it's just, it's a key to life. When you have an argument with somebody, give them the way out, give them the covert, and they'll be able to agree with you. If you decimate them, there's no way they can possibly regain their composure and be a mensch. That's the koyach over here. The gadlus of this, of Moshe Rabbeinu, was Koros HaTov. From the very beginning to the very end, Moshe Rabbeinu Shlichus, he did not go to Mitzrayim until he had sorted out that he's not going to lose any of his Koros HaTov. He went to Yisrael to ask permission before he went. Until the last day, Moshe Rabbeinu did not fight Midian, because he was taken in by Midian, HaKoros HaTov. He knew that the success of his family, of his children's chinuch, is based on his koyach of HaKoros HaTov. He had a Koros HaTov to Rebbein Shloilam, Nehman Beisayhu. That is how he was able to control all his middos, how to control his tivus, because everything he had from Rebbein Shloilam, and therefore we've got to give him respect for that. But even a domain, even something that can intellectually not be anything wrong, but emotionally, that can blunt our sensitivity to Koros HaTov, that cannot possibly be. That is Moshe Rabbeinu on one side. On the other side you have Paro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu can show him everything, can show him he's in control. He's a kofi toiv. He is a kofi, anything that's good a person can deny. And he can be v'yechzak lev Paro. And he can be v'chabe lev Paro. And he can deny and deny and deny. And eventually, even when he sees HaKadosh Baruch Hu is perfectly in control, then he deny even more. Our life is filled with relationships. The most difficult relationships one has is trying the best one can to give back to those people who have given us the most. Our parents. Why is it so difficult to respect parents? Why is it so difficult to give them, to say to them, you know, I have everything from you? Why? It's difficult to say, why is it? Because it's so emes, it's so clear, it's so apparent that the Koros HaTov is just sometimes too great to bear. You know, and a tzaddik will take his HaKadosh Baruch Hu toiv and work with it and build on it and become a great person through his HaKadosh Baruch Hu toiv. A Rosh Rachman at Sami Yachzek Leif Paro V'Chabe Leif Paro, a person will end up a Kofi Toiv. And a Mechinuch says a person has Kofi Toiv to a Bnei Odom, Soifili has Kofi Toiv to Rebbein Shleilam. That is our Veda, and thank you very, very much for coming, each and every one of you.
You're welcome, Rabbi.